flight from home in Belgrade was delayed more than 2 hours because of heavy, heavy snow, but we have enough overlay time, so everything went smoothly because you prayed for us. We appreciate your prayers as we are coming today to share. It was more than 5 years ago when I was here last time. Oh, time passes so quickly. You are a little bit older, and I'm a little bit older. Everybody gets older. Nobody gets younger. There are a lot of good thoughts that I want to share, and one of the theme that I want to share with you is about the time. Time is important. And the difference between the Christian in Africa, I heard, and America, is that Americans, they have watch. And in Africa, they have time. You know, they don't look so much about watch, when it's going to happen, so and so. So I will try to be very precise and to finish before 11 o'clock, because I know you have watch and also time. Before I begin, I would just like to show you a very short video that touched my heart. It was not produced by any Christians, but it was produced by American Embassy. When we went to apply for our visa, later I noticed this video, and I like it because in that video, American Embassy acknowledged people of Serbia. And if you don't know, on July 28, 1918, there was a flag of Serbia on the White House. That was first time ever that some foreign nation flag was on the White House. And because the President of the United States appreciates some people from Serbia, Mihailo Pupin, who was a good solid scientist, and without him we would not have phones today. There are other people who are in this video, but the main emphasis is about the impact that small country of Serbia had on Earth. And I was asking myself, what kind of impact would I have? What kind of impact you have in this world? You're very small. Not important. I consider myself not important, not a VIP person. But every one of us have a potential to impact for the Lord. The people who were shown in this video are, you might recognize some of them. My favorite is Novak Djokovic. You know who is Novak Djokovic? The tennis player number one in the world. Oh, you're not so much in the sports as I am. But let's see that movie, please. It's in the Serbian language, and there's no sound. Okay. I thought you would hear beautiful sound of Serbian language.
Građani daju svetu. I onda, ako se desi da je neko od vas svetu podario struju, da bez nekoga od vas ne bi postojao telefon, da je neko od vas otkrio najveće tajne naše planete, da među vama ima onih koji su žrtvovali mnogo da bi osvojili sve, onih koji iz malog mesta nespretnim korakom krenu u svet i postanu legende. I onih zbog kojih su legende iz sveta umetnosti dolazile kod vas, da je neko od vas pomogao svetu da razume život i smrt i večnost. Ako se sve to desi, mogli bismo da kažemo da je vaša zemlja, zemlja ljudi i njihovih velikih snova. Neki snovi počnu u Srbiji i menjaju živote ljudi oko vas. Neki snovi promene Srbiju. Neki snovi iz Srbije promenili su čitav svet. Zbog svega toga, vi ste svet.
Thank you. You are world. Maybe from the spiritual position, it's not nice to say. Oh, not nice. We are not supposed to be world in terms of to live like the people who don't know the Lord. But in this, what's challenged me, as I mentioned, is what kind of impact I will show in my country, in my family. And every one of us have enough time. God has given us time to live. To live for Him, not for ourselves. And I like the theme that was going through the worship and the song. God is our Redeemer. He redeemed us. We are His possession. We belong to Him. We are not our own. We belong to Him. We are bought by the precious blood of Jesus. And we should behave like we really belong to the Lord. So we should understand the times where we live. And recently I was in a conference in Hungary where a brother from Poland challenged us with a text I want to share with you. That is written in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 12. And we will read just the verse 32. First book of Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32. The word of God says this. I'm reading from American Standard Version, I guess. I'm using English Bible first time after 5 years, so I apologize if my pronunciation will not be good. And the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times, with knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command. Maybe very insignificant verse, but when you read in the context of this chapter of this book, we see that was the time when King David was crowned to be king over Israel. There were very hectic times. You know, the first king of Judah, of Israel, was Saul, who didn't please God, who was disobedient. And God, through prophet Samuel, anointed David to be the next king. But the first king was still alive. And Saul wanted to kill David 2 times at least. So when Saul died in a battle, there was kind of uncertainty. What will happen next? Who will be the next king? There were tribes who recognized David, that he is God-given, the king. Men according to God's heart. And there were some who hesitated to accept this. But this beautiful chapter says about the unity of the 12 tribes, unity of the nation who came all together. People from all sides and from all the tribes to appoint, to make David as king. I like the numbers in the book of Chronicles, and you can see the numbers of people, the numbers of the commanders, the soldiers who were equipped for the war, mighty men of valor. There were 4,600, there were 7,100, there were 20,000 from Ephraim, for example, Manasseh, 18,000, 50,000 from Zebulun, 37 from Naphtali, 28 from Danites, and Asher, 40,000. Mighty men, all the men of good character. But those men of the sons of Issachar were just 200. But what is very interesting about them, He says they were those who understood the times. Time to proclaim David as a king. And it seems they were in a kind of center of attention. Not those thousands, but those who understood the times where they lived. And maybe I can see myself as insignificant. Maybe you see yourself as insignificant. We don't see ourselves as a great number. I know the Edmonds Lane Bible Chapel, the believers who come here from various sides, our small community, among big city of Dallas and Fort Worth in the States. But, you know, God chooses you. God chose me to live for Him, to understand the times where we, when we live. We live in the end of times. We live close to the time when Jesus will come again as a judge. Do we realize the time where, when we live? I saw the picture of David here as a picture of Jesus, who has right to rule, who was appointed by God to be the Savior of the world, to be my Savior, to be your Savior. And it is time for me and for all of us to accept Jesus and His authority, His rule over our lives. I looked at some other verses in the Bible that are speaking about the time, acceptable times. So I'd like to share more of those verses with you. The second, next verse will be from the prophet Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. It says this: "For it is time," the second part of the verse, "for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness on you." It is time to seek the Lord. Also from Isaiah 55, we read that it is God is near, and that we should seek Him till He is near, in Isaiah 55:6. "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." God is near. God is close to us. He's close to you. And the purpose of our life is to seek Him. We seek many things in our lives. We seek what is important for us. But what is the most important is God Himself, is relationship with Him, is to be close with Him. Apostle Paul, when he was preaching in Athens, he was also mentioning this theme of seeking the Lord in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 26 till 31. "And He made one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." And here comes the reason: "so that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope with Him and find Him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. For we are his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art of and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man who he has appointed, having furnished proof of to all men by raising him from the dead. So they should seek God. We are created by God to seek him. And our soul will never be satisfied, will never be at peace, will never have rest until we find him. Have you found him? Do you live with him? Do you seek him daily? Is my eyes open to seek him and enjoy him every day of my life? I was created by him and for him, because he is coming as a judge. Apostle Peter also mentioned in a 10th chapter when he was preaching at the house of Cornelius that God appointed Jesus to be judge. Of course, he is a savior, but also he is coming as a judge because he has right to be judge. He has authority to judge. Now is the time. Every day, every single second of our lives is the time to seek him, to grasp him, to go for him. I know that in our hectic lives, the ruler of this world, the devil, want to hinder us to not seek him, but to seek our own ideas, our own pleasures, satisfaction. Me, I'm the most important, but not God and his kingdom. Seek first what? Kingdom. And everything else will be added to you. That's God's promise for those who seek him and his kingdom. So we are called to seek the Lord through Hosea, through Paul, through God's own word, and to be saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, God's word says, for he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Day of salvation, time of salvation is now, is today. Not just salvation from the hell, from punishment, but salvation to live for God. Salvation from earthly desires. Salvation from our own minds that needs to be transformed and focused on Jesus. God wants to save us daily for him, to walk with him, to have pleasure in him, to just enjoy his presence, and to serve him through serving others. It's better to give than to receive. That was Jesus' words that was quoted by Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20. And when we give, when we offer ourselves in service to God, that's great time. I guess that's your experience, that you have more pleasure when you saw other people to whom you served, that they accepted it, they acknowledged it, and rejoiced in it. What a joy is for God when we accept Him and we seek Him and we are saved by His grace daily to enjoy Him. Maybe there are times when we are kind of flat and depressed because of the whole bad news from the world. We in Serbia particularly are interested about the news, you know, I guess here also, and in the newspaper. And usually the first news are bad news, you know. And the bad news, when you read it, make you depressed. Bad news about your government, bad news about your neighbors, bad news about your children, and you can name it. But if we always focus our minds on what God did, the great deed of salvation, act of salvation, Jesus Himself will be changed. I was challenged last month to have a 30 days of thankfulness by my good friend who studied together with me in seminary. And when you are thankful, that changes your attitude. When you choose to be thankful and give thanks, praise to God for whatever He gave you, you are becoming the channel of God's grace and joy to other people who see that you have something that they don't have. You have joy that people without God cannot understand. How can you be happy when your father died? My father died last year. Unexpectedly. It was a big shock for all of us. But no, you know, that was the time when we as a family felt very close to ourselves because of the God who connected us. And in spite of God taking my dad, I would say, before we thought, we give praise to God. And God gave my brother and me mercy to preach at my father's funeral. That was done. I mean, people in Serbia, they do that. Usually somebody else speak at the funeral, not their children. But each of us, we are four brothers, during that time felt God's presence and strength to go through and give God praise for giving us, dear Father, who taught us to love the Word of God from our childhood, to love His Word. He wrote on my Bible, "This book will keep you away from sin, or sin will keep you away from this book." And many other things. He was well respected. But it was time for him to go and to enjoy God's presence. For us, it was kind of a sad thing, but at the same time, it was time of celebration of life that God gave to our family. And we were able to sing, four of us, at his funeral. Even my daughter, Becky, she made a special psalm for him. It was time of God's mercy in our lives. And the words that my father shared a month before he died with our family was, "The grace or goodness of God is better than life." Can you say that God's grace, hesed in original, that's God's faithful love, loyal life, goodness and loving kindness is better than life, is everything? It's time to seek the Lord. Seek His goodness. Be thankful. enjoy him, be saved every day. And kind of, if we are depressed, to be awakened from sleep. One more. I apologize. In Romans chapter 13, we will read several more verses. Romans chapter 13 through 11. And this do, knowing the time, that it's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Time to be awakened from sleep and to consecrate, sanctify ourselves, our bodies, our minds to Him. It is time. Every day it's time to do this. Do we do that? Maybe, as I mentioned, we are not very significant persons, but Lord is watching over you and me, and He wants to use you and me to bring changes in people around us, to see my faith in Him, your faith in Him, your joy in Him. The Lord Jesus is the one who has all the authority. He says before He went to heaven to His disciples, in Matthew 28, well-known verses from 18 to 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We like to quote this verse, that God is always with us, as He promised. But when we read in this context, why the Lord and with whom God is always? With those who go, with those who make disciples, with those who accept the Lordship of Jesus in their lives. That's the first thing that Jesus emphasized. All the authority is given to me. He's the most powerful in all universe. He's our creator. He's the one who redeemed us with His own precious blood. And that should move our hearts daily, every day, to realize again and again the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for my sin, for my salvation, and love for God, for what He has done, has to motivate, constrains every day me. Lord didn't hire us. He redeemed us. We are His servants. But in the context, New Testament, I listened to one preacher. Better translation is, we are His slaves, not servants. We don't like maybe that term to be slave, because the slave doesn't have his own will, or he has to always be obedient and so on. But if God redeemed us, and I guess we all agreed that He is our Redeemer, He possess us. We are His. He paid the price. And our Lord is a good Lord. He's not a despot, a tyrant. I don't know. He is the loving one. He's the one who gave His own life, His blood to redeem us from the penalty of sin, from the hell, from Satan to be His. That's the precious sacrifice of Jesus. And He invites all of us to go and to tell everyone in our family, in our street, in our country. Some of you travel around the world, like our dear friend Alex Kurian, proclaiming this wonderful news. Now is the time of salvation. Now is acceptable time to repent and not make Jesus Lord. We don't make Jesus Lord. He is the Lord. He says, all the authority is given to me. For me, it's important to accept His Lordship on my life, on my mind, my ears, for my eyes, my hands, to be in His service. For me to walk like He wants me to walk, to watch what He wants me to watch, to listen what He wants me to listen, because I'm His, I belong to Him. It's time to accept His Lordship, because many people around us don't recognize how good is the Lord. And He wants to use us to go and make disciples, to show the world that God's love, God's sacrifice of Jesus is the ultimate gift to humans, His creatures, who rejected Him. And He wants us to repent and to accept Him. And that's the best thing that we can do and we should do. And He wants to change the world through us, through you. Doesn't matter how insignificant you may be. I will not be a good tennis player, never. I can challenge Novak Djokovic to play with me. I guess it will be bagel, 0-0. I'm not a scientist like Mikhailo Pupin or Milutinovic, who were presented, or Ivo Andrić, who was the Nobel Prize winner in literature. But He wants to be my Lord. He wants to be your Lord. And we are here redeemed. We are different. There are white, there are black, there are semi-black people, or Spanish people. I don't see any Hungarian people here. But I heard that Hungarian language will be heavenly language because it takes whole eternity to learn it. My daughter Becky, she studied in Hungary in a Bible school, so she knows a little bit of that heavenly language. But how is precious to be together, redeemed all together by the precious blood of Jesus, and to understand the times where we live. We live in the end of the age, very close, when Jesus will come again to take us, to be with Him. And now it's important to live that consecrated life, sanctified life, without strifes, without any blemish. So people around us in this area will know that here at Edmonds Lane Bible Chapel, there are people who love the Lord. There are people who are thankful, who are forgiving people, who are saints. Not perfect. Nobody of us are perfect. But who love the Lord. Who love the Lord more than their own children, spouses, who have Jesus as center of attention, center of life. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to be saved by the Lord. It's time to be awakened by the Lord daily. Let us accept that challenge and live for the Lord in the time He gives us to live. Let us stand and give Lord praise. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word that is challenging us to live for You, who redeemed us, who sanctified us, who is calling us to live for You, Lord. Lord, we want to accept Your Lordship over our lives, in our minds, in our body, in everything we are. You have right. You have all authority. You redeemed us. We belong to You. We are Your possession, precious, precious possession. Lord, You are good God, faithful God. And we are so privileged that You call us Your sons and daughters. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to be here. Thank You for these dear people. Thank You that we are united in You. Also, although we speak different languages, we have different cultures, but we are one in You, and we are able to live in harmony, in unity, because of You, Lord, who redeemed us. Lord, we pray that You will give us peace, Your peace, as we walk out from this house to serve You, and that You will be the center of life, of our lives for now and for all eternity. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. I want to give you greetings from my home assembly in Bački Petrovac. Many our friends and relatives send you their love. Thank you.